Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
So today's scripture is going to be found in Luke chapter 5. We're going to be talking about going deeper today, but that'll make more sense in just a little bit. But Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, the page number is 836 if you're using one of the Emmanuel Pew Bibles. If you're in the app, it's there for you. If you've got your own Bible, Luke chapter 5, and it will also be on the screens. But if there is a Bible open in front of you, I encourage you to do that. This is our gospel reading for today, so if you can and your health allows you, I invite you to stand in honor and reverence. Hear the words of the Lord this morning from Luke chapter 5. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, which is the Sea of Galilee, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon Peter, and asked him to put out a little away from the shore. Then he sat down and he taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out in the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of the fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. This is the word of God given for you, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So I can remember back to being a little child and being really frustrated when somebody told me I had to stay in the shallow end because it wasn't safe in the deep end. And then they were probably right, you know, whether it was a swimming pool with a lake or out in the ocean, as long as you could touch, even as an unstable young person, you were pretty safe. But then over time, you could go from ankle deep to knee deep to waist deep, and now you can touch a little bit, and now, well, you can go up to your belly button because you can touch. But eventually, you have this desire to be out in the deep water, or at least I did as a child. That might be because I just didn't like people telling me I couldn't do something. But what I learned as an adult is the deep water is not always as fun as you think it's going to be. It's rougher. You can't touch. You don't always have control. And then when you get responsible enough to start taking children out in the deep water, you're responsible for their safety, and you're doing all you can to keep up with your safety. And I started thinking this week that life's a lot like that. That life in the shallow end is pretty safe. Even when the storms and the waves come and we're in the shallow end, they don't rock us too much. Because even if we fall, we're just ankle deep. We're just knee deep. But as we get into the deep part of life, as we grow up, that adulting thing everybody tells you is going to be great, the biggest lie that it was ever told to me. When you start having to do this adulting thing 7 days a week, and you're out there in that deep water and the storms come and you can't touch, it feels like life is going to overwhelm you in an instant. Our faith can be the same way, and that's why this story spoke to me a few weeks ago as I was reading about the call of Peter into following Christ. But I started thinking, here's Simon. He'll eventually be referred to as Peter, so I'm going to refer to him as Peter because I think we're used to it that way. He's been fishing all night and he's caught nothing. And I'll save the jokes about fishermen and, you know. But if a fisherman tells you he caught nothing, he caught nothing. There's not even a lie that can be told here. He's got to be tired. See, on the Sea of Galilee, you would fish all night. That's when the catch would happen. And he's probably grumpy, maybe hungry. But we know he's cleaning his net, so he's most likely ready to go home. But then Jesus, this teacher, this new rabbi who's just began his ministry that Peter has already encountered before, asks him to push out from the shore a little way so that he can use his boat to teach. And it would have the same effect as if I had a microphone. If I did not have a microphone, it would be easier for those of you in the back to hear me if I stood here and projected my voice versus being down here. Now, if for y'all, it would be okay, but for the deep part of the crowd, Jesus needed to be away from them, and with the wind and the water, his voice could echo off of it and reach all the people. It's absolutely fascinating when you think about the crowds that Jesus was teaching. But then the teaching's over. I'm thinking Peter's relieved. Thank goodness the preacher's done talking. I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to eat. Take a nap. And Jesus says something different, doesn't he? He says, hey, Peter, why don't you put out in the deep and let's drop those nets for a catch. Now I want you to think, you're the fisherman. This is the scholar. This is the teacher, the rabbi. He knows nothing about fishing. And Peter does exactly what any of us would do. He starts making excuses. Yeah, but you don't understand. I've been out here all night. There's no fish out there. You ever been in a lake or a pond and there's just no fish? Yeah, every time I don't catch any, that's what I blame it on. They have drained this pond of fish. There's nothing left in this lake. Somebody else caught them all. But he does it. And out in the deep waters, a miracle happens. And that's kind of what I want to look at today. It's in the deep waters with Jesus where miracles actually happen. It's not in the shallow wind where we have control. It's out in the deep where Jesus takes over. So I want you to think today as we walk through some of this scripture, if we're going to be honest with ourselves and only ourselves, where are we in our walk with Christ? Are we playing it safe in the shallow wind? Are we out in the deep end feeling overwhelmed? And then hopefully by the end of this, we'll have an answer of where we should be and a better direction of where Christ is going to take us. But let's look at the first thing. The first thing, deep water miracles require deeper trust and obedience. And I think if you'll hit the next slide for me, there it is. Simon answered, Master, we have worked all night but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so. Odds are there's some of us in here today, we're going through a situation and you might be feeling a nudge. I call that the Holy Spirit. Some people call it a conscience. Some people call it a bellyache. Some people call it the Holy Ghost. It doesn't matter to me what you call it. It's God moving in your life, trying to direct you somewhere. And in your mind you're going, God, but you don't understand. I've already tried everything. And that's often where we stop, but Peter doesn't stop there. He says, yet if you say so, Lord, if you say so, then I'll do it. I've tried everything, God. I've tried everything to get rid of the anxiety. I've tried everything to get rid of the depression. I've tried everything to get along with that coworker. I've tried everything that I can think of, God. But if you say so, then I'll go deeper. And when they go deeper, that's exactly what happens. Peter's got so many fish, he needs his buddies to come help him. And then his buddies' boats are so full that they're going to sink if they don't hurry up and get to shore. Can you imagine what Peter felt like when he's already cleaned these nets, right? So he's going to drop them back in the water, which means later he's going to have to do what? Clean them again. This Jesus is creating a lot of work for Peter, but he drops them over and all of a sudden the boat rocks. There's a tug on the net. And now they're just filling up. Can you imagine the awe that Peter probably experienced? The first time that I went out in the deep ocean that I can remember with my dad, and the first time that I was allowed to take Logan out in the deep ocean. Still haven't taken Anna Claire out there yet, but you cling on to your father or your mother or whoever adult that is out there with you because you're terrified. You're absolutely afraid. But what happens is the more times that you're out there in the deep water, the looser you start to hold on, and then eventually you might even let go because you know they're still right there. And if this really does get bad, I can grab back a hold of it. You see, our trust and our obedience, what happens is the more we have experienced the deep waters with Jesus, the easier it is for us to go deeper in our trust and our deeper in our obedience. Our response must always be, if you say so, Lord, I will. All right, the second thing about deep water miracles is you got to have deeper encounters with Jesus. We encounter Jesus, but I want you to think about how deep your encounters are with Jesus. Are they shallow encounters? I felt a little nudge on Sunday. My eyes watered up during a song, driving down the road, and see, to me, those are encounters with Jesus. But what's going to happen in the deep water, what's going to happen is Peter says, Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees saying, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. When you have a deep encounter with the Lord, it puts into perspective who He is and who we are. And when we can acknowledge who He is and He still has the audacity to be in the boat in the deep waters with us, it ought to change everything. For He has done great things, the choir said. The greatest thing He's ever done for me is He's allowed me, a sinful man, to be in His presence. And that doesn't matter if it's the shallow water, the deep water. He promises me He's going to be with me everywhere I go. And that's the greatest thing I can think of, that He would let a sinful person like me be redeemed and washed clean and in His presence. You know, kids, they're pretty funny. You can tell a younger child to do something, and when they say, why? You can say, because I told you so. You can give them that look. And I think sometimes we start our relationships with Christ off that way. Why are you doing that? Because Christ told me so. And I'm this super righteous and holy new Christian, and Christ told me to do something, and I'm going to do it. But life gets hard. Life gets really hard sometimes. It doesn't matter how long you've been in church, life gets hard. And sometimes life just flat out stinks. And we got to do our best then. Well, here's what happens when the child gets older. Why? Because I said so. Well, why? What do you mean, why? Because I'm the daddy, and I told you you better do it. Yeah, but I don't understand. Why? And I think we start to do that in our relationships with God. Yeah, I know. You're God, and I'm not, but why? But why? But why? And I'm not saying that asking questions is a terrible thing, and I'm not saying having doubt is wrong, because it's all part of our faith journey. But at the end of the day, it has to come back to those deep encounters with Jesus, where we remember that if He is who He is and we are who we are, then it has to be about trust and obedience. The third thing that we learn about miracles in the deeper waters is they're for others too. They're there for others too. Verse 10 says, and so here's what's happened. So He calls James and John. He calls them over. Peter's got to be a pretty good fisherman, because most people would not have had partners in their fishing business, but he's got partners. So they come over, and then Jesus says to Simon, who has already fallen down in front of him, who's already terrified at what's been seen, and He says, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." Jesus makes it very clear, Peter, this is no longer about fishing. This is no longer about you're going to catch these fish, and you're going to sell them, and you're going to eat them, and that's how you're going to live, and that's what's going to get you by. See, now it's going to be about other people. And what Jesus is saying is, because you've now experienced this with Me, it's time for you to let others now experience it too. Is verse 11 up there too? So here's what happens when they get back to the shore. Two boats full of fish. I would argue, without any knowledge of the situation, the greatest catch Simon Peter has ever had. How do you know that? I don't. The only thing I'm going off of is Jesus was there. And I just don't think anybody's caught more than when Jesus is there. That's my logic. If Jesus is involved in the catch, it's probably greater than when Jesus is not involved in the catch. But when they get to the boats and they're slammed full of fish and the nails and stuff are starting to pry loose and the boards are creaking, they get it to the shore and they leave them. Because now they realize that it's about other people. And they went from, okay, Jesus, I'll trust You to put out in the deep, even though I know there's no fish, to, Jesus, I'll leave all these fish so that I can go with You to bless others. There's a song out right now called Control by 10th Avenue North, and it has these words in the song. It says, God, You don't need me. See, He doesn't need Peter. He doesn't need Andrew. He doesn't need any of us, because He's God. It says, but somehow You want me. Oh, how You love me. Somehow that frees me to open my hands up and give You control. I give You control. You see, Peter, James, John, these fishermen, they no longer needed to be in the shallow waters with Jesus. They no longer needed to be in control of their own lives. They were willing to let Jesus be in control. And I felt this weird tug in my heart for a few weeks that we're being called deeper. As individuals, me as a person, I'm being called deeper into my walk with Christ. Us as a church, we're being called deeper into service to our community and to others. But the only way to do that is for us to let go of control, to be willing to get out of the shallow waters and to trust and obey Christ out in the deep waters where miracles happen. So the challenge, the prayer for all of us here today, the question that I want to leave you with is, how deep are we willing to go? Let's pray.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.